Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly.
This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. This is episode 31 for January 26th, 2008. Bill Kendrick of Tux Paint.
Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
It's time for Jumping Monkeys.
Episode 31.
I'm still hoarse.
You're still sick after all these weeks.
It's been 4 weeks and I'm still sick. No, we're recording this ahead of time. And so I'm still recovering from my I've never had a cold. I think when you get older, colds get worse.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. You ran ragged. You ran yourself ragged.
Oh, that was what it was. I ran myself ragged. I had 8 days in Egypt to see everything. There were days in Egypt where we flew in air. I skipped the hot air balloon, but some people got up at five, did a hot air balloon. Then we got in an airplane. We flew to the Aswan Dam. We flew back from the airplane, got in a boat, went to a Nubian village, sailed back in the boat, got on our boat, sailed down the river, and then go see a temple in the evening.
Wow.
That was one day.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And so I was very tired, and then I got on the airplane, and it was three flights, a total of 17 hours, and it was that last flight that did. I'm going to wear, now do you think I'm going to start wearing a surgical mask like the Japanese
all
do.
The time or just on airplanes?
Just on airplanes.
Yeah.
I might wear them all the time if it works. I'm going to carry a bottle of Purell. Surgical mask. I'm going to sterilize everything around me, sterilize my hands.
Refuse to shake hands with people.
I won't touch anybody. I'm going to be like Howie Mandel.
You could also wash your hands after you go to the bathroom, too.
I always did. What are you looking at me like that for?
You know, you are so sick. Leo is so sick, he's not even sitting on his exercise ball.
No, I'm actually got a chair for myself.
Yeah.
I thought I couldn't face the ball today.
Yeah. Did you see that video, the Bill Gates video that he did at CES?
His farewell?
Yeah. I thought about you because he's on the exercise ball and like with the Matthew McConaughey and just flies off. Just one of the way you one of the million of ways you and Bill Gates are,
you know,
the same person. Have you ever seen them together? I don't know.
But I want to say that I have never seen skinnier arms in my life.
Yeah.
Than when he's doing the bench press with Matthew McConaughey. I thought they must have a stunt double.
Yeah.
But no, that's Bill Gates.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It was a great video.
I loved, like, he's such a nerd, and like all these non-nerdy people in there. Like, I don't know. My favorite part was, I don't know why, but with Al Gore, when Al Gore's on the phone, he's like, yes, Bill, no, this isn't an inconvenient time to call. No, I get it.
It's very funny.
Yeah, it's
funny.
You should watch it.
It's Bill Gates' last day because he's retiring. It was CES speech, and it was his last speech there. And what's good, and I don't know if Bill is normally like this, or if he's got very good handlers and advisors, but it's always good if you're the richest man in the world. Remember this, if you're ever the richest man in the world, it's always good to do a little self-deprecating humor.
Right, yeah.
It brings you, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Then. And that's what this was. He made fun of himself.
Right.
And the fact that he was willing to do that and then get a bunch of big movie stars to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, he got Hillary Clinton to mock him.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was very funny.
George Clooney,
Barack Obama, Bono.
Yeah. That
he's
was
playing,
good.
He's playing the Green Acres theme on his Guitar Hero guitar. Bill Gates is. And saying, Bono, I'm ready to play with a band. And Bono's saying, I don't think we can get rid of Edge. I think, you know, no, it was very funny.
Yeah, it is funny. I'll put a link in the show notes just in case you might be
blog.
The one. Oh, it is? I'll put that link to it there.
Well, it's on YouTube. That's what I'm betting YouTube.
Bill didn't send you a copy directly beforehand?
No.
Okay, today we are going to talk to Bill Kendrick, who is the creator of Tux Paint.
I knew that name.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing art program, open source for kids, and it's great. And Bill has a one-year-old. I just think he's just, you know, used to do this at night on his own free time.
I think we should honor people like that for such a important and wonderful. I mean, not important's not the right word, but such a great contribution.
Yeah.
It's a selfless program. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now we're going to do the spend, save, give. One way to spend your money, save your money, and give it away. Now, this first link is make your own monster custom design kit from FAO Schwartz. It's pricey.
Is it?
$249.
Oh, dear.
But what they send you a kit, and you can take your kid's drawing, and they'll turn it into like a stuffed animal.
Oh, okay. So they send you a mailer.
Yeah.
Your kid draws something,
mm-hmm.
and they custom do a stuffed animal based on it.
A nice one.
Oh, it looks nice. No, well, no wonder it's so expensive. You got to make a custom animal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or for $18, you can buy somebody else's monster.
Right. Who wants somebody else's monster? But they're actually pretty cool. Like, actually, I would get somebody else's monster. And I found this on Mighty Junior, which, do you remember when we interviewed Maggie on our first episode of Mighty Girl?
She said she owned
MightyKids.com or something like that. But I don't know. It's now the section for
Mighty Junior.
It's Mighty Junior. So she has daily picks of cool stuff for kids. And she, you know, she has a great eye for fun things for kids.
So you can buy, you know, Jimmy's monster mm-hmm. for $18 or Nico's or, but I'm wondering, did Jimmy get a royalty when you buy his monster?
Good point.
It's a good monster.
He should
get a little kickback. He's 4 years old.
I'm sure you sign all your rights away for that, but I don't know.
That's really cool. So it's much less expensive if you don't want the custom one.
Yeah.
And some of these are very good. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, this is a very popular thing. I've seen like places that make jewelry out of your kids' art or like, you know, big framed pictures. And
you know why? Nobody has a refrigerator anymore.
We don't put art on a refrigerator. We put it on a wall.
You
it's just
it
all over the wall. It's like we have an entire wall devoted to art.
I think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Honor the child's art.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then how long do you keep it there?
Yeah. Well, I think the important thing is to ask them, like, are you ready to take this down? Like, make it their decision, you know? Well, I mean, if you fill up the wall, you just say, you didn't do that. Oh, you've ruined your kids. You've ruined your kids.
No, but I'm just thinking, well, you're going to give them a choice? Isn't that like kind of giving them, going to set up some sort of, you know, horrible angst in them? Like, oh my God, the wall is full, but I don't want my painting to be taken down. I don't know what to do.
I think it's better than having them remember, like, well, Dad took down my painting. Like, then it's on them. They chose. They're like, I don't know. It's works for my kids. But
Henry is funny because he remembers. He'll come, you know, like he was in his first grade. He sewed me a rocket ship. You know how they do this big yarn?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll come into my office now, 10 years later, whatever it is, 8 years later, and say, where's that rocket ship I gave you? And I don't even know anymore. The yarn rocket ship.
You have failed as a dad.
I have failed. No, he remembers those
things.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, yeah. So then if they make the decision, if it's, you put the decision in their hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might've made that up. I don't know. So now we're getting into save.
Okay.
Cause you've just spent $250.
Yeah. We need to save some money. Yeah.
This is how to recycle your old greeting cards and make holiday placemats for next
year.
So you
get
to
all have a lot of cards
we
left
do.
Over right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And it's hard to throw them away.
Although,
I think.
Don't do it just yet because we're going to mail you our Christmas cards coming out any day now.
You always say that.
We're a little behind.
So this link is on WikiHow. Do you like the WikiHow?
I love WikiHow.
Mm-hmm. And this is fantastic. You just take the cards and then you can cut them out. They recommend that you cut them out in circles and it's really pretty. Or you could just like do a collage and then you cover it with contact paper and it's like a laminated little placemat for your messy kids.
Somebody should make like a giant hole punch. Because, you know, hole punches cut out perfect circles,
yeah.
but they're too little. But if they were like, you know, like coaster sized holes. So if you had like a giant hole punch that would cut a coaster sized hole, that would be perfect for this project.
Or you could just, we talked last week about dangerous things your kids could do. X-Acto knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's hard to do a circle.
Yeah, use a plate like to cut. I think they recommend something that you use to.
I'm going to make the giant hole punch for this, and I'll market it, and it'll be at CES next year.
I've also heard this technique recommended in using old Valentines to make Valentine's Day placemats.
But like, who gets Valentines?
Kids get Valentines.
Oh, okay.
That too. Little kids.
Little kids. Because I haven't, nobody sent me a Valentine in years.
Well, now, send Leo a Valentine, everyone.
No, I get Valentines. So that's a good idea. Placemats from greeting cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Festive.
Now we get to the give section. We talked last week about ways to, you know, make the holidays less
commercial.
All about, yeah, commercial. Yeah. So I thought this link, of course, came about in the holidays, but I thought it was worth it for, because you're constantly giving gifts to people for birthdays. This is tisbest.org.
T-I-S-B-E-S-T.org.
And they're charity gift cards. So you give the person a card, and the funds on the card go to the charity of the giftee's choice. So you're not saying like, oh, hey, you know, I donated $100 to the World Wildlife Fund for you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because then, well, what if I hate the World Wildlife Fund? What if I hate animals? So I want to choose to give my, you know, money to something else. I don't hate animals, by the way. No one...
Good, I won't give you this card.
No, you get to choose. There are a bunch of different...
So they're kind of a escrow or an ombudsman,
yeah,
or a man in the middle kind of a thing.
Right. And there's a processing fee. So say like you have, you know, you give a $50 card to someone, like maybe like 45 of the dollars will actually go to charity, which is pretty good.
And they have a lot of charities.
And the other thing is you can take this as a tax deduction too. So if you give this, you know, if you give like all your clients or something gifts of wine, you can't take that as a tax deduction.
They have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Excellent.
On there.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, so how much is it?
You can do whatever.
Like $1 million you could put on this?
Actually, yeah. Like the thing that I think you can give like up to $1 million
or
something.
Wow, that's
like
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Are you
I think
give?
This is a good idea. Instead of, in fact, from now on, up to 5,000, it says.
Oh, where did I get $1 million?
I don't know. I like that. You know, if you got $1 million gift card for a charity, you'd be really tempted to figure out a way that you could get that money for yourself. So that's probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
5,000, you know, you're not going to go to a lot of trouble. But I think for the kids, this would be a great Christmas gift next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and then... Because what I want to teach my kids to do is figure out what charity.
Right.
Think about the charities.
Yeah.
I don't want to just do it for them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think this makes everybody feel good.
Very
the
neat.
Giver, the getter, the person getting. So.
Tisbest.org. Give a better world.
So are you ready for our book pick of the week?
I am. And then we'll talk to Bill Kendrick.
Yes.
The author of Tux Paint.
Mm-hmm. This is a book that I read a little while ago called The Keep. By Jennifer Egan. Have you heard of Jennifer Egan or The Keep?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
This is a fantastic book. Jennifer Egan wrote Look at Me, which I know Abby and Jennifer, your wife Jennifer, have both read. It's a great book. We lent it to them. But The Keep is more... Look at Me maybe just more... maybe females would appreciate this more. But
this is
The Keep,
scary, spooky.
Yeah, The Keep is not, I think, is a gender-neutral book. And especially if you like gothic novels. It's kind of...
I love them.
Two cousins reunite in Eastern Europe in this old castle.
Ooh.
One of them is, you know, trying to redo it and turn it into something.
Oh, I'm putting it on my list right now.
Yeah, and one of the cousins is very upset because there's no internet access there.
That's one nice thing about Audible. They have a wish list.
Yeah.
You just add it right onto the wish list.
Audible, like, I think is kind of, it has that same good feeling about, like, Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, you're so excited to get something in the mail. Or, like, I'm also excited to see that, like, little one pop up in my credit
You've
thing.
You've got a credit.
Yeah. Because I always use them right away. So, it's only, all I ever see is one.
I got two right now. I could
do
The Keep
you have
right
two?
Now.
Credits. I won't
Look,
feel bad
I don't
if
know
you don't
what,
right now.
For something called For the Love of Evil is in here, too. So, that'd be very good.
Hmm.
No, but I'm going to buy The Keep. That sounds really good.
I think
you
like it. Let me know what you think.
So if you want to make that your free book, all you do is you go to audible.com/monkeys. Audible is really the best way. If you want to try out audiobooks, take advantage of this free offer because that way you can really get a sense. But take it from me. I've been listening to audiobooks for more than 15 years, and I started with cassettes, CDs. I found Audible. I never went back. You download the file. You put it on your MP3 player. It works with all the iPods, the iPhone. You could burn CDs if you want them. You could put it on your computer. I think there's like 200 different devices it works with, including the Kindle. I was just talking about the Garmin GPS devices it works on. Anyway, it's a great way to get into audiobooks, and I can tell you something. Audiobooks are the best way to read, period.
Mm-hmm.
Audible.com/monkeys. I mean, think about it. You know, a gothic novel, it's spooky. You want to turn out the lights,
mm-hmm.
have a fire in the fireplace, but it's too dark to read, but you can listen to your audio novel in the perfect atmosphere.
Excellent.
Love it. Thank you, Audible, for your support.
Yeah, thank you.
Especially since we don't even know if they're going to be paying for these ads. No, I don't know if the commercials are, I don't know if they've run out of, you know, the contract ran out, I think, a while ago, but we keep doing the ads because we love the books.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, even if we don't have Audible as a sponsor, and we may still, I don't know, I have to figure it out, the numbers and all that, But we should just keep doing this.
Yeah. Just or find someone else that might sponsor us for books.
Books love books.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time for the YouTube video of the week.
The YouTube video of the week.
Now, this is for parents who are having a hard time trying to get their kids to eat vegetables. Because what if they were musical vegetables?
Well, that'd change everything, wouldn't it?
This was on Boing Boing. It's the Vienna Vegetable Orchestra. All this music is played through a vegetable. All the instruments are vegetables.
That's LB.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's this video shows how they like hollowed out the carrots and hollowed out the peppers and stuff. It's crazy.
So they're buying the vegetables right now.
Right now they're buying the vegetables, but later on. But this is the vegetable that you're hearing.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Vegetableorchestra.org.
Yeah.
What a strange thing. Who do you think thought that up?
I don't know, the Vienna Vegetable Orchestra, I guess.
Do you think they like just they're coring out stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think that somebody had a brainstorm and said?
I just can't believe it's a whole orchestra, but it is. Well, I think like that, you know.
How would you think this up?
I don't know. You can make instruments out of everything. I mean.
Yeah, but why? I mean. They do performances.
Ours is not to wonder why.
I think a kid would love it.
Yeah.
That's a radish. That's a cabbage. Oh, that's a very nice carrot flute.
Yeah, that's a carrot flute. That sounds nothing like the recorders that my kids got for Christmas.
No, actually, carrots might make better recorders than wooden recorders.
Yeah.
That's a zucchini.
Or is it a cucumber? Or is it a pickle?
It looks like it's got a pepper on the end. There must be a reed at some point. That is very odd.
So, Vienna or vegetableorchestra.org, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you want to do it in German, Gemüseorchester.
Yeah.
Gemüseorchester.org.
So, are we ready to talk to Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got caught up. By the Vegetable Orchestra. Yes, let's get Bill Kendrick on the line.
This is Bill Kendrick, who started Tux Paint.
I love Tux Paint.
Yes, we've talked about Tux Paint before, and I'm not sure if we had all of the correct information. Bill, you'll have to correct anything that we don't know, but this is an open source program for kids. Mm-hmm. And so...
And despite the fact that it's Tux, it does work on Windows and Macs, as well as Linux.
Correct.
And something exciting you just announced is that the newest version is going to work on the Exo laptop.
Actually, there's somebody who's been working on that.
And, oh, that's neat.
I just got an email today from someone trying to get it to work that couldn't, so we're going to have to figure out what that is.
I just got my Exo laptop, and it's really cool. In fact, mm-hmm. I should have brought it so I could show you, Megan.
Yeah.
But it has a paint program, but nothing nearly as interesting as Tux Paint.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I think would probably be good about the Exos one, I haven't actually played with an Exo myself, is that it's probably collaborative.
It is.
Over
it does that
network.
Sharing. And that's all the applications that come with the Exo, you have this button that says share. And if you're in a classroom, everybody's got their little ears up on their Exo laptop. You can share the music or the paintings or whatever you're doing. And that is kind of a neat feature.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that I like to look into in my copious free time on Tux Paint. If not on the Exo, then also just elsewhere on Windows and Linux and so forth for people who don't have that hardware. So.
So you're obviously a developer, open source guy, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing open source games and apps since about 98 or 6 or I don't know when to say. It was back in college.
Is this your profession or what do you do for a living?
For a profession, I actually write mobile applications and games. I work for a company called Limelife down in Menlo Park.
Oh, neat.
And what's interesting about them is they actually focus on women as the target audience.
Huh.
So it's all media for women, which is kind of cool.
What's the name of it?
Lime Life.
I have to look it up. Lime, L-I-M-E?
Yeah.
Lice?
Life.
Life.
See, because that really wouldn't be a very attractive...
Lime Life. Lime Life. Much better.
Mobile games for women.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what kind of games do women... I'm sorry, we're going down the wrong... But what kind of games...
That's fine. Well, we focus a lot on the casual game, something that you can pick up and drop whenever you have time.
Girls' Night Out Blackjack.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, casual games really are the ones that, to me, make the most sense on cell phones. So,
right.
This company interested me doubly when they came to me to offer me a job.
So this stuff's in Java, obviously.
Java and Brew. Brew is another right. platform that's based on C that Verizon and some carriers work on.
And TuxPaint is Java?
Oh, it's in C.
It's in C.
Yeah, just straight C.
Basic, fundamental, hardcore, Kernighan and Ritchie, C.
Pretty much, yeah. Keep it simple.
That's why you could port it.
Exactly, yeah. That's what's made it really easy to port and easy for other developers to pick up and help
right.
on.
Right.
I'm not doing anything too crazy in there. So
so how long have you been working on it?
I started TuxPaint in June or July 2002.
Oh.
And
was this because you had kids of your own and you wanted to develop for them? Or?
No.
He has a kid, but he's only one.
Yeah, he just turned one.
Oh, so he's not even using TuxPaint yet.
No. He plays with a Magna Doodle for about 5 seconds. Trust me. but yeah, eventually I'm sure he'll pick it up. Hopefully he won't be too embarrassed by it. You know, like, oh man, that's my dad's
voice.
My dad.
Yeah.
But no, actually, it was there's a Linux user group out here in Davis, which is where I live again. I moved down to the Bay Area for a while and recently came back after we had our son William, and. One of our members was trying out a set of packages for the Debian Linux distribution, which you guys probably have heard of,
mm-hmm.
the one that Ubuntu was originally based off of, I guess. And he was complaining that he was letting his 4-year-old and 7-year-old kids at the time play with it, and the only graphics program it had was GIMP, which I'm sure
little,
you're also
a
aware
little
of.
Much for a 4-year-old.
Yeah,
a little much for a 50-year-old, I might.
Yeah,
add.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. So I decided, well, you know, I'm doing games, I can do a paint program, and I didn't expect to be doing it, you know, 5.5-6 years later, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great learning experience. I've learned a lot about different methods of open source development and project management and localization and all the insanity behind. You know, trying to get the right fonts to work and go in the right direction and all that kind of great stuff to make it really, really accessible to pretty much anyone in the world. So,
and of course, you give it away, which is really great because a lot of parents who maybe, you know, have a computer but didn't want to spend money on a kid's painting program. You know, I used to love KidPix, which is kind of gone. The guy who did KidPix is doing a thing called Beautiful Dorina, but KidPix is kind of gone. But TuxPaint really fills that need.
Yeah. And I've actually gotten a lot of email from people saying that, you know, they've upgraded their computers, or especially on the Mac side of things, when Mac OS X came out, a lot of people, I can't run KidPix anymore.
Yeah.
What's the alternative? And it ended up kind of filling that niche. I did it initially because there was nothing like it for Linux. Turns out that there really was becoming less and less of it for the other platforms, too. So it really did kind of fly once people noticed it. So
that's really neat. Yeah.
So I wish I could, you know, get paid to do this day in, day out, but, you know, I gotta have the real job. So the development goes a little bit slower than I'd like, but.
It's pretty funny, though. I mean, you work all day writing software, and you go home to relax, and what do you do? Write more software.
Yeah, I used to make that joke years ago, yeah. nothing like relaxing in front of the keyboard after a long day in front of the keyboard.
Yeah, he's not making that joke anymore, is he?
No, not with a baby, no.
No kidding. That's great. Well, it's a fun program. We've recommended it several times on a variety of different shows. And,
I've noticed. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and it's
great to be plugged.
Yeah. Well, I really like to support people who do open source software and really, you know, pay attention to it and work hard on it.
Cool.
And you've kept it up to date all these years. There's a gallery you can go to if you go to tuxpaint.org.
It's long overdue for an update. I've got hundreds of pictures. I just haven't had time for.
Oh, that's neat. So kids will send you all their pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
and
so
adults,
sweet.
Too. I mean, there's a guy... I think he's in India who's done some really, he drew a picture of me once, which is a little bit creepy to see myself drawn in TuxPaint, but he did a really good job. It was based off a photo and that's the thing. Like, I'm not at all artistic, so I play with it and I do a little stupid doodle, but some people out there who really know how to draw and
that's
have
neat.
The artistic talent, they're able to use it even though it's a real basic application compared to like Photoshop or, ArtRage or any of those, you know, real professional, like,
right.
trying to simulate paper and ink and and paint tools, but they're able to do some really cool stuff.
I'm looking at what Donna from Georgia has done. I mean, it's very beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. There's so many. It's so cute. You get this 6-year-old kid who's got 7 pictures up here, and you know, I just think that's so fun.
Yeah. Oh, and they get it. I think they get a kick out of it too. They get excited when they can see their own work
and
online.
And you must love it that it's all over the world. I mean, India, Hungary, Poland, Brazil, Canada, California, Milan. I mean, everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's the neatest thing about open
source. I've got a little form on the download page, and people can fill out information about themselves and sign up for the mailing list. And I don't actually know how many, like what percentage of people who in the end download it actually fill out the form. But I'm constantly getting email with a little form fill out PHP script telling me, you know, this person in this country read about it in this magazine that I've never heard of, and you know, and so it's kind of cool. And you know, every once in a while I'll see a little wave, like. Especially if I sort the emails by the IP addresses they come in, it kind of localizes it a little bit. So I say, oh, hey, it's in Indonesia again. Some newspaper somewhere must have done
that's
something.
Funny.
You know, a couple people mention that and I go, okay, that's where all these people came from. So it's kind of cool. I keep all this data and I don't really ever look back at it too often, but it's something it's kind of interesting to pay attention to. And I'm not really sure how many other open source projects really bother with that. That's the thing. I try to do a lot more than just write the code and release, you know, tarball. I try to make it a whole product and manage it, which is
Thank you.
A lot of fun. It's, you know, it's more than sitting around doing C code, because there's only so much of that you can do after a while. Like, I got to think of some new piece of code to write or some stupid bug to fix.
Now tell us about your baby. 1 year old.
1 year old.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Are you all excited?
Oh, he's just starting to walk. He's doing maybe 15 steps at a time now.
Hey, yeah, remember that. That's the best.
Doing his little Frankenstein zombie thing.
Oh, that's the best. Oh, it's so great. Now, are you going to let him? How are you going to teach him to program? This is.
Oh.
I want my kids to learn to program, but the XO is a great choice for that because it comes with.
Oh yeah, yeah. It has a Python in there.
Yeah, and there's a little the sugar, the squeak, eToys.
Sugar.
Yeah. Well, that's the Python part, and then there's the eToys, which is Squeak, with Smalltalk.
So, oh, really? Oh, cool. Yeah. I've heard a lot about
Squeak. So you can write in Squeak, you can write in Python. It has, you know, Turtle graphics. So it would be a good little program for kids to learn how to, computer. Of course, you can't really buy it, which is
I know, yeah,
bad.
That's the thing. I was really tempted to do the get one, but didn't really have it in the budget. So
it's a lot of money, and he's only one.
Yeah. So, really, would it be for me at first?
Oh, for you.
Of course, but,
for you.
But yeah, that's even harder. Well, speaking of small laptops, people keep pointing out the fact that the Asus EEE or EE or however the heck you pronounce it, the damn thing.
Doesn't have a drawing program on it, does it?
It has TuxPaint built into it.
It does?
Was
it
TuxPaint? And people are always, hey, look, there's Tuxi. Yeah, I know. You know, after the first person told me back in November, I've
oh,
heard
that's
it every
funny.
Week.
Oh, that's great. Well, it has Tux. It has some like Tux Racer and stuff. So that's great. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's cool. Like a school district buys 1,000 of them, and there's 1,000 more TuxMate users. Kind of a little warm, fuzzy feeling.
Oh, that's
because I'm not getting royalties, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. Does that ever make you feel bad? Like they didn't even contact you to let you know that it was going to be in there?
No, that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It's exciting for me, and it's kind of proof that I've done something good for the world.
You are a true open source programmer.
I like it.
No fopen source.
Fopen source. I never heard that
one. I just made that up.
Fopen source. That's great. No, this is no fopen source. This is the real thing. Well, it's great to talk to you, and thank you for making such a fun program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And for making it available for free, putting all that work into it. TuxPaint.org, we've recommended it for, even little kids can use it, which is nice. I mean, it's just a very
Simple. I've heard kids as young as 2.5, which to me seems kind of ridiculous, but,
That's really
I wasn't,
young.
You know, I'll find out in a year and a half how well he's worked with a mouse, and, you know, maybe it's not too shocking, so.
Yeah.
All right, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks for talking.
Bill Kendrick, he's the creator of TuxPaint.
Yeah.
TuxPaint.org. There's the nicest guy in the world.
It is, yeah.
Bill Kendrick is the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a donation thing on there? Could you pay for TuxPaint if you wanted to?
Yeah.
Well, you should.
I thought I saw a donation button.
I'm sure, yeah.
It says purchase. Oh, and but it's not really a donation. You could buy a CD-ROM if for some reason you really wanted to, and I guess he'd make a little money off of that from Cafe Press. And he says it's snack money for Bill.
Now, probably that snack money for William, his son. All right. So now we have a new feature. You ready for a new feature?
Yes.
A new Jumping Junkies?
A new feature.
Regular feature. We used to do this on the screensavers. The question of the week.
We did?
We used to do the question of the day. Yes, the poll question. Remember we'd come up with a news story? That was part of my job.
We tried to make up a silly question.
We try to make up a compelling question. Yeah, we had silly answers. That I'm not interested in. Just I think it'd be interesting
compelling
to have a poll.
Is it better to have a compelling
to
question?
Have a poll. So this
so how
is
are we
something.
Do this?
Well, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot. A lot of the general advice for parents is one of the you always see at the first on the list is keep your computer, your family computer, in a central area.
Right.
I don't know if that's practical. I don't think you find it practical.
Yeah, we do. Well, we let the kids have their computer.
Right,
in the
with
bedroom.
A laptop, like it's, you know. It,
well, she, Abby, has a laptop. She
and
take
is it practical? Yeah, like when they're doing their homework, like what if you have a lot of kids? Do you want like the older one to have to be in the living room, you know, doing their
no,
homework?
No, I can tell you right now that we've got the computer in, it's near my bedroom and it's loud. And I wish it were up in their bedroom.
Right. So I thought this was a good poll question to start off with. Do you let your children use the computer in their bedroom?
Now, here's the cool part. You've got some sort of magical technology.
A poll question technology?
Yes.
Vizu. Have you heard of the Vizu?
Poll? Yeah.
They do polls. So, yeah.
You can embed it on your site.
Right. And so, by the time you listen to this, you can go to jumpymonkeys.com.
Oh, you haven't done it yet, have you?
No, because
you're very
is...
confident that you're going to be able to implement this.
I've done
no
it.
No trouble.
I've done it in a preview manner.
By the time you hear this, she will have finished this poll. So, our question is...
Do you let your children use the computer in their bedroom?
Can next week...
Yes or no?
Can next week, can we do... Do you let your kids have a TV in the bedroom?
We could do that.
That's for older kids.
We could do both of those. I have the technology
really
to do two questions.
I think that's so bad, and I see that happen all the time, and I think that's undermining the kid.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's where this don't let the kids have the computer in their bedroom comes from. It's
no, I'll
because,
tell you
like,
why I tell people that.
Okay.
Because people say, oh, I don't, you know, my kids, I'm worried about them using porn. I want to put some blockers on the thing. And I tell them, look, the blockers, a couple of problems. First of all, false sense of security. They don't always work. Kids are smart. They often can get around them, and they don't often they block sites that you don't want to have blocked.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation is you keep the computer somewhere where people are walking around so that the kid's not going to be doing stuff on the computer he doesn't want anybody to see. That's the reason.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's logical. I think it makes sense. And I aspire to that. Like, I hope that that.
Well, I don't worry about Abby doing that.
Yeah.
So, but that's the problem is that once they do get laptops, they'll use them wherever.
Right. Yeah. So my question is, what do you do? Not you, Leo, but you out there in the listening audience. So vote at jumpymonkeys.com.
Do you let your children use the computer in the bedroom? And then next week, we'll see if we get that to
yeah.
TV. Because I know people are mad at me because they say, well, no, wait a minute. They want to. Justify that.
Right.
See, I'm a TV Nazi. I don't even have TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Isn't that funny? I work at TV, but I think it's the worst thing you can let your kids do.
Yeah, like I mean, we don't have a TV in our bedroom either. We have a TV.
We have a TV set in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just not connected to broadcast networks. It's just movies or Apple TV.
Yeah, our TV is not connected. We don't have.
It's not a good thing to have a TV set in your bedroom either.
Right.
For many, many
but
reasons.
The computer is different. I mean, and I think this is an interesting question.
I carry my computer with me everywhere.
Right.
There's no room in the house, even the little rooms, that I haven't used the computer in.
Really? You use the computer in the bathroom? That'll be the question 3 weeks from now.
Everybody uses a computer in the bathroom.
I have never used a computer in the bathroom, nor
really?
Will I ever.
Really?
Really?
You find that disgusting?
Yes. I don't want to, actually, I just don't want to think about it. Let's move on. I have an email here from Bill in Athens, Georgia.
Oh, good, because all I have is a 3-minute long voicemail, and I don't know if I want to play it.
As a parent, I'm sure that both of you have encountered far too many toys that require batteries, just like I have.
Yes.
One of the ways we have dealt with that in my family since I was a child instead of a parent was with rechargeable batteries.
You bet.
My wife and I have been using Energizer rechargeable batteries for a while. They usually work pretty well, except I have two problems with them. For some reason, many toys are not now taking three AA or AAA yeah. batteries, and the charger we have only charges batteries in pairs. So sometimes right. we have to charge three empty batteries and with a fully charged battery. I know this isn't good for the fully charged battery. Also, we've tried using rechargeable batteries in our digital camera, but they don't last at all. Any recommendations for rechargeable batteries that will solve my two issues with them?
Yes. First of all, it's okay to charge three empty batteries with a fully charged battery.
Okay.
As long as you're using nickel metal hydride.
Mm.
NiCads, forget it. Those days are long gone. But nickel metal hydride, which is the rechargeable of choice, they're much more resilient. And for instance, you could have a fully charged one and then charge the rest of them. I use nickel metal hydrides and battery in the cameras all the time, and they actually work very well. I use them in my flash, my strobe, and it works really well. But you want to get the high capacity nickel metal hydride batteries, and sometimes the ones that you see in the stores are not. I use Mahas, and I get them at where do I get them? Somethingdistributing.com.
I really sprung this question.
I'm going to look it up because there's a thomasdistributing.com. Thomas-distributing.com is where I get all my rechargeables. And they sell the top-end rechargers. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a three-battery rechargeable, but they also sell the very best nickel metal hydrides. And they now these are 2,700 milliamp-hour rechargeables. These... I'm telling you, your camera's going to be fine with these. These are really good. In fact, many camera manufacturers are now recommending these. Now, it's not going to last as long as, say, those lithium camera batteries. Those last a good long time, but they're $13 for a pair of them. They're very expensive. And then you have to throw them out. So do recycle your rechargeables, by the way. When you're done, you can recycle them, and you should recycle them.
Yeah, usually like Radio Shack
takes them. Almost anybody will take them.
Yeah.
You can find out more about that, too, at thomas-distributing.com. That's where I've been buying my rechargeables for a long time. They're not a sponsor. They're not, you know, I don't even know them, but I've been very happy with them for a long time.
All right. My next question is from Kathleen in Fairlawn, New Jersey.
Hello, Kathleen.
She says, first off, even though I'm not a mom, I just love the stuff you've been doing. It's okay to listen if you're not a mom or dad.
Oh, please.
She says she misses the TSS days. So do I.
You don't miss those.
I miss part of them. Sometimes I miss them. I miss the people.
I think it was the greatest fun. There's nothing like doing a live TV show every day.
Yeah, I miss some of the days. The early days where we really could do whatever we wanted.
Before the television types came in.
Yes.
It's a lot more fun.
She says our show's helped her be the cool aunt. She said, for example, you mentioned photo books a few times, which got me thinking, and a quick visit to Snapfish, and I put together a retrospective of the first 2 years of my niece's life for my mom
and sister,
and they were a huge hit.
Great gift.
So, yeah.
We're doing one. I started the layout today of our Egypt trip.
Oh.
We picked 125 pictures. I'm going to have to narrow that down.
Apple book, are you doing?
With the iPhoto, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made this pledge, Jennifer and I kind of made this pledge to each other that this time we were going to make a book out
of
it. Because we have so many good pictures.
Yeah. I've made books for my sister and my...
Oh, that's neat.
But I haven't made them for my own self, for my kids. That's my next thing. I'm going to give them to myself.
It's the complaint people have about digital photography is that, you've got all these great pictures, but they're on the computer.
Yeah.
And they miss the days of going through the book. The other thing is, you know, as much as I love digital... Nothing lasts longer than stuff printed on paper. You go to Egypt, you know, the reason that we know so much about Egyptians 5,000 years ago,
right.
Papyrus, that stuff lasts for, you know, millennia, and stone. If they'd put it on a hard drive, forget it.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind, okay?
Yeah. All right. Tamara says she's been thinking about her daughter and gifts for her daughter. She says, I really like to get her comfortable with a keyboard and mouse and navigation. Her daughter, by the way, is 3.5. I know with two techie parents, she'll do just fine with computer skills, and I'm not over eager to introduce video games or TV-based learning systems.
Good.
So I'm trying to decide between finding decent software and getting her a keyboard and mouse for my laptop, giving her own computer, getting a play computer laptop or something like the Leapfrog Click Start. She says, again, I'm not looking for her to learn much from these tools, but I just want to introduce her to the computer and get her comfortable using it. Should I even bother? Is it too early anyway? 3.5.
That's awfully young.
I think it is. I mean, I've been struggling with this too. I'm thinking, well, you know, Annabella's going to start kindergarten next year. Is everybody going to be familiar with the computer but her? No, I don't think. I mean, I think that's a fear of especially techie parents that they're, you know, that you just need to introduce them to the computer. But I've come to the conclusion that computers are so easy to learn. I mean, and they're going to be having them for using them for so long that I don't think any kid's going to walk into kindergarten. Any kid whose parents listen to this show are not going to walk into kindergarten and be like way behind because they have never used a computer.
I've been asked this for years, and I've always said, wait till they need to use a computer to do homework. Fourth grade or fifth grade. There's no hurry. However, this issue does come up more because now we all have computers, and this is the real problem. The kids see mommy and daddy using the computer, and they want to do it. And so that's when I think a leapfrog product, something like that, is actually not a bad idea. They're inexpensive. They're very simple. And it gives the kid, they'll learn a little bit. Not, like you say, you don't need to learn anything. But it also gives them something to do that's like mommy and daddy. And what you don't want them to do is, you know, put peanut butter and jelly in the CD drive of your computer. So it's probably a good idea to, if you're using the computer all the time and they want to do what you're doing, the leapfrogs are fine.
Yeah.
When they get a little older, I wish they sold the one laptop per child in the U.S. because that's a great computer for a fourth grader or fifth grader. Really neat. These Asus EPCs are fairly inexpensive, about $400. They're a good size for kids. They're portable. They're very easy to use. They have some good educational software on there, but not 3.5. I'm talking about an older kid, a third or fourth or fifth grader.
Yeah.
Depends how precocious the kids are.
Right. Yeah, that's all from the mailbag today.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen.
So we want some more calls, though. So
let me give out fine phone number, the Grand Central.
And don't forget to vote in our poll. Do you let your child use the computer in his or her bedroom? What's our phone number?
It is 707-981-4602. 707-981-4602. That is not a toll-free number. So some toll charges, minor toll charges, will ensue.
And you can email me at megan@twit.tv.
If you want to send us a voicemail by emailing her audio, that's fine.
Yep. And you can subscribe at iTunes or listen at twit.tv/JM.
But to subscribe, go to iTunes and press the subscribe button. And just to make sure that you've got it subscribed, press it a few times. Just go click, 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 click. And maybe if, just in case, do it again tomorrow.
And leave us a comment and tell a friend. It's very easy from iTunes to tell a friend. You just click on one link.
And the iTunes folks told us that the best way to get featured on iTunes is to have lots of good, positive reviews. So leave a review if you feel like it.
Yes.
Because we'd like that too.
Yes.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us. By the next time you hear my voice, well, it's funny because last week I was better, and then I got sick again.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But I'll be better again next week.
Yeah.
And I promise not to keep doing this all year. Thank you,
me
Megan.
Too.
It's funny because between you and me, I think we've had always somebody had a cold.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm well, and I am not touching
you
anything.
You have a good reason. You have small children. I have no reason at all.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm going to wear from now on a surgical mask.
Excellent. Yes. I like that.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys. You didn't say that. I
forgot.
I already
have to say. I already was out the door.
You're gone.